Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 43. Vaikanasa Valakilyaho Dumbara Pinapavane Nyasi Kuti Chakak Purivam Bhakvodo Hamsa Nishkriyao Vaikanasa Valakilyao Dumbara Penapavane Nyasi Kuti Chakapurvam Bahodo Hangsa Nishkriyao. Vaikanasa. The section of men who retire from active life and live on half-boiled meals. Valakilyo. One who quits his former stock of grains on receipt of more. Audumbara. One who lives on what he gets. That much. From the direction toward which he starts after rising from bed. Penapaha. One who lives on the fruits which automatically fall from the tree. Vane. In the forest. Nyasi. In the order of renunciation. Kuti chakak. Life in the family without attachment. Purivam. In the beginning. Bhakvodaha. Giving up all material activities. And engaging fully in transcendental service. Hamsa. Fully engaged in transcendental knowledge. Nishkriyao. Stopping all kinds of activities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The four divisions of retired life are the Vaikanasas, Valakilyas, Audumbaras, and Penapas. The four divisions of the renounced order of life are the Kutichakas, Bahuodas, Hamsas, and Nishkriyas. All these were manifested from Brahma. Purport. The Varnashrama Dharma, or the institution of the four divisions and orders of social and spiritual life, is not a new invention of the modern age, as proposed by the less intelligent. It is an institution established by Brahma from the beginning of the creation. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam. The system was devised by the Supreme Lord. We say this because he says it. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. I created this Chaturvarnyam system. So, he claims it? Okay, then we agree. Yes, Krishna created it. He says he did. It doesn't make it spiritual. Krishna appeared as Mahavishnu, his incarnation within the material world, to create a material world. The world that Mahavishnu creates is still material. And the four Varna and Ashram orders, four of each, are material. They're, in a sense, divine, or can be. The Varnashram system is meant for the service of the Lord. If it's properly organized and properly practiced. The varnas and ashrams serve a spiritual purpose, just as the whole material world, everything in it, can be used for Krishna's service. But the Varnashram institution is the way by which intelligent human beings use the things of the material world in Krishna's service. Those who are more intelligent than human beings, the Vibhudas, which normally means, Vibhuda is a word that etymologically means very wise. So are we talking about Einstein and Mozart, or who are we talking about here? Euclid? Demigods. Yeah, by convention, the word, by etymology, the word can be understood as referring to many people, but by convention it refers to the demigods. Even though there are those who are wiser than the demigods, the sages who live on the Maharloka, above Swargaloka, they are even more smart. But it's the demigods who are called Vibhudas. Rishis are called Rishis. Demigods are called Amaras or Vibhudas. Even though they're not really immortal and they're not really the most intelligent living beings. But that's the conventional use. Derivational meaning of a word is called yoga. The conventional meaning of a word is called rudi. Ruda, what is ruda, which is assigned by convention. Some words, their meaning is derived by etymology, and other words, the meaning is derived by convention. And then you have words that are compounds and derived both ways. A word that is conventionally assigned may originally have a derivational meaning, but that's overruled. The ruti meaning overrules the yoga meaning. And what it, you know, shatpada means having 6 feet. But there, any insect, by the definition of the Western system, any creature, any bug with 6 feet is an insect. If you don't have 6 feet, you're not an insect. But the Sanskrit word shatpada refers only to bees. By convention. Although there are other species that have 6 feet beside the bees. What was that first convention I was talking about? Which? Whom? Sorry? Oh, demigods, yeah. The demigods are more intelligent than human beings. They're also more faithful in general. That means they are trustworthy servants of the Supreme Lord, and they all are involved in helping maintain the universe for the service of the Supreme Lord. They are intelligent enough to understand, you know, that everything is meant for the God's service. They have material desires, but they're able to keep those desires under control and stay faithful to the service of the Lord. The Asuras are also smart, but they're faithless. And therefore, they're just troublemakers in the universe. They disrupt the order. But the demigods and the sages above them maintain the order. So, certainly everything all the demigods and all the sages do are helping organize the universe so that everything and everyone be used for Krishna's service. But the human beings also have their role to play in maintaining the universal order. In other words, in helping to see that things are used for the service of the Supreme. They're supposed to perform sacrifice. They're supposed to observe the rules of their own varna and own ashrama. This is how human beings participate in using everybody and everything for Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. So when it's seen, when the system of social organization is viewed from according to its transcendental purpose, then it becomes spiritual, Daivi Varnashram. When pure devotees organize this system and maintain it, when they're the directors, the institutors and the directors of the system, then it's transcendental, although it's actually material. We can use all the material things for Krishna's service, they're still material. I can cook chapatis and sabji for Krishna and offer it to him, and he can accept it. That's his transcendental pleasure. But the chapatis and rice dal that I cook are different than the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha are cooking. They're cooking transcendental rice, dal, chapatis. I'm cooking material rice, dal, and chapatis. There may be some, you know, remains of shatpadas in it, of six-legged creatures in my atta that I'm offering to Krishna. It's not transcendental. But Krishna, as a reciprocation of love, is accepting it and leaving his remnants. There's a transcendental process going on. But what I'm offering to him is actually material. My body is material. And my social designations are all material. The designations of the Varnashram system are material designations. To be a Brahmin is a material thing. If you're so proud of being a Brahmin, then you're disqualifying yourself from understanding your spiritual identity. Or if you're proud of being a sannyasi, or a grihastha, or whatever you are, everyone's proud of whatever they are. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madakpuma Naivarhat Yabidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Mother Kunti, who was a noble lady, a kshatriya, but a lady, therefore she couldn't feel too proud. Ladies are considered second rate. Even kshatriya ladies are, they're kshatriyas, they're royal, but they're not, they don't sit on the throne, they don't command an army, so they're not as glorious as the men. So she's in a humble position, Mother Kunti. Well, anyway, she's feeling humble because she's a Vaishnav. Actually, she has a lot to be proud of. Noble lady of the Bhoja dynasty, in a personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, she has something to be proud of. But she's humble because she's a Vaishnav. And she's speaking as if, I'm just a simple woman, and what do I know? And what power do I have? Who listens to me? But my opinion is, those who are proud of their Janma, their Aishwarya, their Shruti, and their Shri, their birth. I was born as a Brahman, as a Kshatriya, therefore I'm a big person. I'm important. I'm better than others. Aishwarya, I'm powerful. Therefore, I'm better. I have money, I have political power, military power. I'm better than others. Shruta, I have studied so many things. I have my diplomas and my degrees. I'm better than others. I know more. And Shri, opulence. I'm rich. I got money and I can do what I want. I'm better than others. You know, nowadays, Kali Yuga means people, modern age, means that people are considered aristocratic if they have money. It's a qualification of a third-class man, that he has money. But that's all people care for today. If someone has money, then he's the greatest aristocrat. Third-class civilization. And it's degenerating into fourth class. If someone's a big sense gratifier, then he's the best. Even that standard is being degraded. So Mother Kunti says those who are proud of these things, of their material qualifications, including their position in the Varnashram system, naivar hati abhidatum vai, they are unable, incapable of sincerely addressing you, of communicating with you. They can impress the foolish people of this world, but they cannot even call out to Krishna with any sincerity. They can't chant Krishna's names with sincerity. They can make a show of chanting, but they're not dependent on the Lord. They have their material assets. They don't need Krishna the way the helpless do. Tvama kinchana gocharam. You are accessible to those who have nothing. They may have. The Pandavas were a kinchana. Even though they had their aristocratic birth, and by force of arms they won their kingdom, it's not just enough to be born a kshatriya, you have to go out and fight and win your kingdom. They did it. Conquered Bharatvarsha. Defeated all their enemies. So they have something to be proud of. But they're a kinchana. They don't think they have anything. They don't identify with it. They're not proud of it. So they're akinchana. And Krishna is accessible to those who have nothing, or who think they have nothing. What do we own anyway? We don't own anything. Whatever we have to us is just on loan. Tena tyuktena. Whatever we have has been granted to us by the Supreme. Ishavasya midam sarvam. Everything is Krishna's property. He's given us certain assets on loan. And we don't know when he will take them back. We don't know how long we can hold on to our wealth, our intelligence. You may die any minute. And if you live long enough, you'll start losing your intelligence. You know, so proud of you learned so many things. Who is it? Immanuel Kant made up such a philosophy that still nobody can figure it out. Such a sophisticated philosophy. So students were coming to him to ask for explanations. Nobody could actually understand his philosophy. So he was explaining it, but then he started getting old. And the students were still coming. He was becoming famous. The students were coming to old Immanuel Kant and asking him to explain, and he had to apologize. I'm getting old, I can't remember. I don't understand my philosophy anymore. You get to that point. If you live long enough, your memory, your intelligence start to fail you. And then we're there. Then what is the status of your wisdom? You become like a child again, an ignorant child at the end of your life. And similarly, you can lose all your money. Maybe someone can hold on to his money with the help of lawyers and bankers, he can hold on to his money up to the time of death, but not past it. No lawyer and no banker, no doctor can arrange that you take your money with you to the court of Yamaraj. You know, you have to leave the money behind and all your other material assets. So actually we are akinchana. We don't actually own anything. We have no irrevocable claim to anything. So to be akinchana simply means to be realistic, to be honest, intelligent, and realistic, and understand that it's not my property, it's Krishna's property, and whatever claim I have on it is only temporary, and I can't even say how long I'm allowed to keep it. Therefore, I don't actually have anything. All I have is Krishna's favor, whatever he wants to give me. Krishna is accessible to such persons. These are his devotees, akinchana. Demigods, unfortunately, are akinchana. They think they have something. They get proud of their position, of their power, of their intelligence, of their long life. Better to be a human being. What can you be so proud of? If you know that there are greater persons, demigods and sages, if you know that there are people in Vaikuntha who are completely perfect, then how can you be proud if you have knowledge? Chanaka Panda says, Vidya Didati Vinayam. Education brings humility. If you actually understand your situation, just realistically, relative to other people in this universe and beyond it, then how can you be so proud? People who are actually smart tend to be humble. People who are actually devoted to the Supreme are very humble. It's only natural. And those are the people who can actually approach Krishna, who can call out to him in all sincerity. That's the greatest asset, to have that sincerity. Lolyam. Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. The only price that has to be paid to get Krishna's holy name, to actually get the ruchi for Krishna's name, is intense eagerness to have it. Anxiety. Laulyam, greed. Greed is the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti. But not material greed. Not ordinary lust, envy, and greed. It has to be transcendental. We have to transcend, put aside our material lust, envy, and greed, and find out what this transcendental greed is. And when we have that, then we can purchase Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad
Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.